Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Happy Father's Day. Let's get into the Word. Last week I shared that Jesus came to reveal the Father and the heart of the Father. I think it's appropriate that this week we look at a father figure within the Bible because it is Father's Day, and we see what we can glean from him and what he portrays to us. So if you have your Bibles this morning, I'd love you to turn with me to Luke 15, verses 11 to 32. It's quite a big portion of scripture, so bear with me, but make sure you read it. You're either reading it with me on the screen or you're reading it in the Bible. This is the story, you are right, about the prodigal son, but we are not talking about the prodigal son this morning. We are talking about the father. So Luke 15, verses 11 to 32, I'm reading out of the ESV, English Standard Version. And he said in verse 11, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me my share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took it into a far country. And there he squandered this property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens being a Gentile, okay, of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, everybody say himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, take note of the next three things. This is what he says to him. This is what he's planning to say. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Second one, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And the third thing, treat me as one of your hired servants. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet and bring the fattened calf and kill it and let's eat and celebrate. Another version says, let's eat and be merry. I love it. We're always merry when there's food. For this is my son who was dead and is alive and he is lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Now, his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said, the servant said to him, your brother has come home, your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. 28, but he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated, which is another way of saying he pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, these many years I've served you and I've never disobeyed your command, yet you've never given me a young goat, not even a goat. You haven't even given me a goat, whinge, that I might celebrate with my friends. Verse 30, but when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed a fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is now found. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word, and I pray that, Holy Spirit, that you'll reveal the word to us, that you will open our eyes and our minds to see and perceive and our hearts to receive. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll help me to deliver this in a way that we would be strengthened, but we would also be enlightened, that we would be equipped, and Father God, that we would be better fathers because of this. We ask this in the one and mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I've titled the message this morning, Father of Fathers. Father of Fathers. Being a father is definitely not the easiest of tasks in the world. Yeah. I know my children were all of a sudden speaking in tongues there on the screen. They were speaking in Afrikaans, which is my home language. So if you're from South Africa, you would have appreciated. If you're not from South Africa, you would have wondered, what are they talking about? But it was all about love and thanking me for driving them around in the car and taking them to sport, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We know that being a father is not the easiest of tasks. As you know, I'm a father of three, a physical father of three with the most beautiful, amazing, well-mannered, joyful human beings on this planet. And no, they are not angels. Jay is 19, Edward is 17, the one in the blue shirt, and Elizabeth is 12. I am also the privilege of being a father across the nation and nations to many. Some of you are going, what is he doing on the platform? I'm talking about a spiritual father. I'm talking about a spiritual father. And it is an absolute honor later on today that I will have, in the next service, I'll have a bunch of my spiritual children here who have come through from the Gold Coast for the Fivefold Summit, which is amazing, by the way, and to spend the day with me as well as to attend Pneuma East. You know what? Being a father, be it physical or spiritual, is our God-given honor and privilege. It's what we were created to be as men. But it does come with the challenges. There is no manual that has been written yet how to navigate through the seasons of life of each child with an absolute guarantee of success. Have anybody read that manual? No, because it doesn't exist. Who wishes one existed? I see that hand, brother. I see that hand, brother. I see that hand. You see, there's no manual that says if you follow these six steps, you will raise angels. I wish there was as well. But you know what? At the end of the day, you and I have to know that we are doing a good job. You might sit here and think, I'm not. I haven't. I've failed. I thought that myself. I actually read a book 3 years ago when Jay was 16 and Edward was 14, and I cried about through the whole book, just about. I didn't cry because it was an awesome book. I cried because I thought, I don't have enough time to fix what I've stuffed up on. But you know what? The Holy Spirit spoke to me and says to me, you know what? Trust me. Because I want them to succeed more than what you want them to succeed in life. I was the one that formed them in their mother's womb, not you. The Father was the one that wrote all the days of their lives in His book before there was one. Just trust me. And so I sat back and I went, you know what? One day my children are going to fly out of the nest and I've got to release them and let them go and help them or allow them to make their choices. So what I wanted to do today is, as we go through this, and I want to speak to all the fathers, but I'm also speaking parenting in general. Mums, if you're sitting here, please don't switch off. Don't get onto FaceTime. Don't get onto Facebook. Don't get onto Instagram. Listen, because you know what? One day you can say to your husband, remember what Pastor JJ said? Oops, I've just lost half of the room right there. The first thing that I want to look at is in verse 11, and he said this, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me, and he divided his property between them. What did the father do? The father, it says, divided the property. The Passion Translation says, so the father went ahead and distributed among the two sons their inheritance. The Greek literally means he gave them his life. So some of the background is that inheritances are normally given only when a father died. So the son's demand for an early inheritance, distribution of inheritance, was unusual and frowned upon. It's like the son said, I wish you were dead. This is culturally, yeah? He valued the money more than what he valued the relationship. And now we don't need to read anything about the conversations. Well, we don't read anything about the conversations, but I think that this father was a good father, and he would have had the conversations where he would have asked the son, are you sure? Where he would have tried to discourage the son from the action, where he would have tried to talk sense into the son, giving him the pros and cons. Maybe even the voices were raised and they were shouting and yelling, because you know what? At the end of the day, the son already had an agenda. Because in the next script, in the next verse, verse 13, it says, not many days later, the young son took his stuff and left. So he already, I think in my opinion, it's not written, but I think in my opinion, he had already planned to get his stuff and leave. He just wanted his inheritance. He wanted the cash. Give me the cash, Father, so that I can go and do my thing. But what we read here, what we must read, what we must see is that the father went ahead and distributed amongst the two sons their inheritances. How does this portray Father God? Because this is very important when we read scripture. Is how does this betray, how does this enlighten what God wants to say to us? And then how does that apply to our lives? So we're going to be looking at those three things throughout all of these scriptures. Father God, this portrays a good heavenly Father. He has not, our Father God has not held anything back from us. We already have our inheritance. He has already given it to us through sending his son to be crucified so that we could be restored in relationship with him. We did not have to ask. Nothing you do, nothing you say, nothing you take, nothing you make can change the mind of God. He's already done this for us. So the inheritance is already ours. But it doesn't end there. You see, because the inheritance goes on, because there's a life after this life. There's a life where there will only be peace, where there will only be love, where there will be worship. A life after this where there will be no sickness and there will be no tears. A life that we move from here into there, that's also part of inheritance, where we will constantly be in the presence of God. Another thing is, which I quite love, is that when we reject the Father, when we say to the Father and we reject his fatherhood and we say to him, you know what, no, I don't want to follow you like I did way back in the day. I don't want to follow you now. I want to do my own thing. What does he do? He does not force me to do it. He allows me to be that prodigal. He grants me my wish. He allows me to go my way. He gives me my choice. I said this last week. You hear me say this a million times from this platform. We all have choice. There's no restrictions. He lets you choose, but you remain his choice. It's a good point, JJ. Good preaching. He lets you choose, but you remain his choice. Now, how do we apply this to our fatherhood? How do we apply as earthly fathers? We too will face the moment when our children decide to push aside the knowledge and the wisdom and the love and the protection and the care that we offer them as fathers. But we have to allow our children to make choice that we may not agree with. And I see some of the kids going, are you listening to this, Dad? A time may come, even when we could face our children asking for their inheritance, knowing that they're just going to go and squander it. But it's in these moments, fathers, that we have to have faith that we have done all that we can, that we have sowed into them and advised them and imparted wisdom and set a foundation that they can go out of the nest and build on. It's in these moments that we as fathers have to know that we have fulfilled the instruction of Scripture. What does Scripture say, JJ? Glad you asked. Proverbs 22:6 says, dedicate your children to God and point them in the way that they should go. And the values they've learned from you. Ooh. You have a responsibility. And the values they've learned from you will be with them for life. This is important Scripture. You know, a spiritual principle sown now in the early days of life might not come into fruition now, but may and will come into fruition later in life. And Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. I believe in discipline. I believe in biblical discipline. Society doesn't. But biblically, I couldn't care what society says. I care what the Bible says. And the Bible talks about discipline. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And this is important because this leads me to the second part, the second point I want to highlight, and that is verse 17. But when he came to himself, everybody say himself. Who's this? This is the prodigal son. But when he came to himself, when he finally came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father and will say to him three things. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. Number two, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Number three, treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. Now, what did the father do? The father did not send out a search party, although he may have wanted to. His father did not hire a private detective to find him and secretly follow him and about his whereabouts and his actions. The father didn't that. But when he came to himself, that's integral. When he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants? We note here that even though the father was absent physically, the father is present mentally. Why? Because of the foundations the father laid way back in the day when he was younger. In that far country of seclusion, in that place where he was at that pig pen, where they were in that stench, in that place he started thinking rationally and he was reminded of his father's integrity and character. It's really interesting in this verse that at that moment the son did not recall what the father had done for him. He recalls what the father had done for the servants, the ones that had served him, because he was too blown, he was too blinded in his mind's eye to realize at that point what his father had done. Fathers, be encouraged. Sometimes our children do not see what we do for them. They do not realize what they do for them. But when they come to their senses, one day they will. The one below him, that's who he thought of. How does this portray the Father God? This portrays again the goodness of Father, that he holds nothing back, absolutely nothing. You know, he treats all people with true godly equality. Oh, there's a word in the right context. He treats everybody. God treats everybody with true godly equality. Jesus gave us another when he left. The other was the Holy Spirit, one like him who is with us constantly, who reminds us of the goodness of God, who always recalls the goodness of God. No matter where we are found, the Holy Spirit is with us. And I believe and I declare over you that your children, when you lay those foundations in their lives right from the beginning, Holy Spirit will be the one. You don't need a detective. You don't need to follow them around. You don't need to nag them in the ear, because Holy Spirit is the one that will bring them to their senses. Holy Spirit is the one that will remind them of what you as a father have imparted into their lives. Whew, I feel it. I feel it. You know what, though we reject God sometimes, God never rejects us. He lovingly and longingly awaits for those to come back to him. He's there with these wide open arms to embrace everybody and anybody that comes. And it is Holy Spirit's job who's the one. He's the one who's the convictor. He's the one who draws us into the presence of God. And he is with us constantly. And when we as fathers lay that foundation, he will be with our children. As fathers, as parents, we can be assured that God wants our children to follow him more than what we want them to follow God. That is why he sent the Holy Spirit. It says this in verse 20, it says, he arose and came to his father. He was drawn back by what? By the convictions, by the reminders. You know what? If I look at my own life, I was exactly the same. I was exactly the same. I didn't have a relationship with my dad. My dad was an absent father. And you know what? It's only when I was in Australia, when I moved to Australia, that I came to my senses. It was only in Australia that I realized, wow, my dad is a good dad. And it was once when, I think it was when Jay's dedication, baby dedication, that dad was out and we were in Perth and we were going out for dinner and Paulina said, it's all right if I tell you a little bit of a story. And Paulina said to me, we're going to Subiaco. And Paulina said, why don't you and dad go and I'll stay at home. And I said, okay. And you know what? That was the best moment of my life with my dad. We sat on the sidewalk little cafe in Subiaco. It was dark, and we drank coffee, and we drank coffee, and we laughed, and we cried, and he told me stories, and I told him stories, and we cried some more, and we laughed some more. And we were there easy from 6 until 11. They closed the shop. There were only the table and the two chairs. It was like in a movie. Actually, it was really like in a movie. And since that day, when I came to my senses and I realized how much my father had imparted into my life, I was so grateful, because not long after that, you see, because after that, we would have a conversation on the telephone, him in South Africa, me here in Australia, for an hour, 2 hours at a time. And the Sunday before Jesus came and fetched him, we were on the phone for 2 hours. For 2 hours. And we were laughing and we were giggling and it was keeping me up to speed with the family goss and we had our little jokes and stuff. And the next day I got the phone call, Jesus came and fetched him. He wasn't sick. Doctor, he didn't have a heart attack, didn't have a stroke. Doctors said this: he literally breathed out his last breath and crossed over. I am so grateful I came to my senses. And I release that, because there's some parents in here that you're struggling with anxiety at the moment. The fathers who you're hounding yourself and you're smacking yourself and you're going, if only. No. Lay the foundation and leave it up to God. Lay the foundation, leave it up to God. Third point, verse 20. Whew. See what you started. Whew. But while he was a long way off, I love this. But while he was a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. The King James Version says, he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. You heard my son say, thanks for all the kisses. I slobber over my kids. I said to my kids, I couldn't care how old you are, I'll be kissing you. You're gross. I couldn't care. I'm your dad. What did the father say? What did the father do here? The number one, the father saw. He said that while he was a long way, his father saw him. The father saw. The father was on the lookout. He was expectant. He was hopeful. He was prayerful. He was on the lookout for his son's return. And while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. His father had not forgotten about him. His father had not written him off. His father, the stature of his son most probably would have changed. He would have been thin. He would have been gaunt. He would have been unkempt. He would have been, his hair would have been dreadies. And his beard would have most probably been as long down to his chin, because he didn't have the money. There was a famine. But you know what? His father, even in the distance, still recognized him. Why? Because there was a connection between him and his son. And his father ran. That's the second thing. His father saw, and then his father ran. His father broke every tradition, every cultural tradition. He pulled up his tunic. He bared his hairy legs, which was culturally unwrong. It was wrong for him to do that. Now, the pictures say, they say, he didn't just gently pull up his tunic. You know, they wore those long tunics. Everybody understand what I'm talking about? Okay, great. Let me get a bit passionate again. So he pulled up his tunic, and they said he put it around his buttocks. Because how do you know if you pull it up here, you still got to run like this, yeah? But he pulled it up his butt, and he was running. He was running like crazy. His hairy legs hanging out of that. Culturally, that was very, very shameful. But his father chose relationship over culture, because it mattered to get to his son. And you know what? His father was not fazed at all. He put his son at the forefront, and he ran, because he took all shame on himself. You see, because what happens if a Jewish son took all his inheritance and went to the Gentiles and returned home, the community would perform a ceremony called the kazaza. They would take a pot and break it at his feet, and they would banish him from the village. But the father ran. The father knew this. So the father most probably ran also in order to get to his son before he entered the village, or before the villagers got to him. There was a desperation to get to his son, so that his son doesn't experience the shame and the humiliation of their taunting and their rejecting. He was saying, there will be no kazaza ceremony on my son. The father took the full shame and that should have fallen upon his son. And he loved his son unconditionally. Friends, this kid was in the pig pen. Who knows a pig pen stinkers? Nobody been to a pig pen? Do yourself a favor. Just take a mask. Not a COVID mask, a perfumed mask. It stinketh in the pig pen. And it's not a pleasant, it's not Dolce Gabbana. It's not Issey Miyake. It's not Million Dollar Man either. There's another stench to it. But you know what? He would have been dirty. He would have been ragged. He would have been stinking. His hair would have been matted. But the word says he threw himself at him. He embraced him. He's put his hand around his neck and he kissed him. That word kissed is kataphileo, which means he kissed him again and again and again and again and again. There was not enough kisses that he could give his son. How does this portray the Father God? The Father sees you. The Father saw man even before the beginning of time. The Father ran. He put a plan together because he, right from the beginning in the Garden of Eden, God's love has pursued man. It has pursued us and it continues to pursue us to this very day. His character is love. His character is love. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. He sent his son because he loved. He put the plan into action so that his prodigal people will not be condemned and go to hell. Who knows? We were all prodigals once upon a time. We were all prodigals. But he put the plan to action. How do we apply it as fathers? Fathers, this is how we apply. We see our kids. We're alert for our kids. We are vigilant. We're expectant. We want the best for our kids, and we want the best out of our kids. We run towards our kids. We run towards our children, not from our children. We run to them because they need our comfort. They need our reassurance. They need our words of wisdom that only you as a father can bring. We bring the gold out of them. Hello? You bring the gold out of your child. One word of encouragement from a father, it cannot be replaced by a million words from another person. You play an integral role, father, as a spiritual father or even as a physical father. We bring the gold out of them and then we love. We love, we love, we love, we love, we love. I am not the best father in the world. I am not. But I know for one thing, I have fathered my children better than what my dad fathered us, my sister and I. Why? Because I have God in the picture. And because I have experienced the love, I've experienced the forgiveness, I can release the love and I can release forgiveness. You have to give. You receive to give. You receive to give. And this is the privilege we have. I am not the best, but you know what? I'm close to it. Kidding. Trying to break the seriousness in this room. Okay, and lastly, get in there. 8 minutes, let's do this. And the son said to him, this is very important. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But, verse 22, the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe, put it on him, put on a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. What did the father do? The father said. The father spoke. Fathers, there's life in your words. There's life in your words. I have had moments where I've cut my children down by what I've said, not what I've done. And I've had to go and apologize and ask forgiveness. Not proud moments. There's life in your words. The father said. But the important thing is the father interjected. Remember, I showed you there were three things that the son was going to say to the father. The Father interjects before the Son can say the third part, which was, treat me as one of your hired servants. The Son never got to say that. The Father interjects and immediately reinstates the Son back into his rightful place as a son. He did not first say to his son, now listen here, I told you so, you shouldn't have done this, you shouldn't have. He didn't say that. That's me. That's normally what I do. I've stopped doing that, but and I still do it now and again. No, he said it loud enough, I want to believe, that everybody around him could hear it. He said it. Quickly, the best robe. Let's cover him. Let's cover the outer, because what he looks like is not actually who he is. Let's cover him quickly. Bring the best robe. Let's cover him, because the way he looks is not actually who he is. Bring the best robe. Covering his outer, covering the shame, was the first sign of forgiveness. Placing a robe was also a sign of royalty in the house of the Father, as well as protection from the elements and dangers of the community. Secondly, he reinstates his authority. He puts a ring on the hand. This was the family seal, the seal of business. It gave him authority, it gave him a sign of wealth, and it gave him a sign of dignity. And thirdly, he put shoes on his feet, because in those days it was only slaves that walked without shoes. It was slaves that were barefoot. But he says, bring the sandals. They weren't these buckled, you know, leather. They were sandals. In those days, they were sandals. But they had sandals on his feet, which signified he is not a slave servant, but the son of a father. The Father expressed to all in earshot, as well as everybody that saw the robe, the ring, and the sandals, he is not a slave. He is my son. Father God portrays us, the significance of these images is that our sins are covered by the blood of Jesus. Our outer does not betray who we are on the inner. The blood comes and covers us. The blood comes and cleanses us. Our authority and power has been restored by Jesus being raised back. And we are no longer slaves, but we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. So how do we apply that as physical or spiritual fathers? We need to keep in mind to navigate the season called fatherhood at all times, holding Jesus at the forefront. And believe me, there have been times that I've gone, okay, Holy Spirit, you just sit there, because I'm not gonna climb into my children. You just sit there and I'm not gonna be nice. And I've done it. But you know what? Every time I've done it out of the flesh, I've always had to go back to them and ask them to forgive me. Fathers, it's okay to ask your children to forgive you. Don't say to them, I'm sorry. That's not biblical. I've taught this to my children. You see, because when I say to my children, Jay, I apologize for yelling at you. I'm going to use that as an example. Not that I yell at him. He's big enough. He'll bully me and hurt me. But Jay, please, I apologize for yelling at you. Please forgive Papa for humiliating you. He can't go, okay. He has to say, I forgive you. Because it's in those words, I forgive you, that I am released from what I've just done. You see, because when I ask forgiveness and somebody receives my forgiveness, it's under the blood of Jesus. So that what that means is that when my kids are having it go at one another, I ask forgiveness. They ask one another forgiveness. And then they can't go, oh, but you remember last week when you said, it's not there because it's under the blood of Jesus. It's gone. You can't bring it out. Can't bring it out. You can't bring out the old. It's a good method. Anyway, some parenting tips there. All right, moving on. So in closing, Tim, this is your cue. In closing, we see some vital roles that the father of the prodigal plays within the family. Vital roles that the father of the prodigal son plays within his family, plays within his household, plays within his community, which reveal the heart and life of the Father of fathers, Father God. We all know that Father God is the Father of fathers. Yeah. So I want to put this all into a couple of single words, because I've said quite a bit. Out of this whole story of the prodigal son, the father is portrayed as a provider. The father is portrayed as a protector. The father is portrayed as a leader, as a teacher, as a helper, as an empowerer, as an encourager, and as a friend. And you may listen to this as a father, and you may look at this, and you may listen to me, and you say, you know what, JoJo, this is not me. But I want to say to you, this is you. This is you. This is who you are. You are a provider. You are a protector. You are a leader. You are a teacher. You are a helper. You are an empowerer. You're an encourager. And you're a friend to your children, be they physical or spiritual. So I want to ask every male, you don't have to be a father, but every male, young ones as well, every male, because our young males are going to be, you're going to be a father one day. I want every male to stand, because I just want to declare some things over you, and I want to break off all males. I see you, twins. All males standing. And all our ladies that are here, you can just quietly be praying for the men. Be it your man, be it all men, be it young men. I want to declare this over you. Whew. Genesis 1:26, God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. In doing this, God's intention was to manifest his character and his authority, express his dominion over the earth, display his indisputable power over the works of darkness, and subdue his archenemy, Satan, through you, the man. All these characteristics are embedded in you because you are who God created in his image. You are who God created in his image. You are a world changer. Just there where you are, close your eyes. All the men, just close your eyes there where you are. Open your hands if you want to receive. Because I'm going to be declaring truth over you. You are a world changer. You are a godly influence. Not only in your family, but in your society and your community and your workspace. You are a mighty man of valor. There is no more of a Gideon spirit in you. I break that off in Jesus' mighty name. I speak to you as the angel spoke to Gideon, and I say, you are a mighty man of valor. You are a lover of Jesus and a pursuer of righteousness. No matter what you look like, God does not look on the outside. He looks on the inside. And I declare over you, you are a mighty, mighty man of righteousness. You are a man of purity. Every spirit of pornography, every spirit of whatever that there is that is not of God, I break it off of you in the mighty name of Jesus. I release you and I bring freedom to you in Jesus' mighty name right now, because you are a mighty man of righteousness and integrity. You are wise. You are wise. You are wise beyond your years. All the young men in this house, you are wise beyond your years. You are wiser than what Solomon is. I release the spirit of Solomon upon you, the wisdom of Solomon upon each man that is in this place right now. And I declare in the mighty name of Jesus that you will have blueprint downloads on how to lead your family. You'll have blueprint downloads on how to lead your community. You'll have blueprint downloads on how to lead whoever comes your way, whatever is in your hands. You are a son. You are a son. You are not an orphan. I break off the orphan mentality. I break off the orphan spirit right now in the mighty name of Jesus. And I declare you are a son of the Most High God. Because of this, you are the best husband to your spouse. I prophesy it over the young men that are not yet married. You will be the best husband to your spouse. I also declare that you are the best father to your children. And all the young men in this place, I say that you will be the best father to your children one day. So I applaud you. I applaud you for your valor. I commend you for your persistence. I encourage you to lean into the Father of fathers and find those character traits embedded in yourself and become the fathers of mighty fathers. I declare that you are the father of mighty fathers. You will see your children and you will see them with the eyes of Jesus. You will run without any hesitation and you will ask for forgiveness to lift. You will lift them up. You will rescue them. You will restore your children. You will empower them. You will embrace them and you will entrust them. And you will love and you will love and you will love and you will love. If you don't know how to love, God is going to show you how to love. If you don't know what to say, God will show you what to say. You will love like Jesus loved, without condition or selfish conviction. You love like you have not yet been loved. You will love like you have not yet been. I speak to all our mature men, to all our seniors. You will learn to love like you have not yet known and have been loved. I also ask that you will reveal the Father to the upcoming fathers, the Father of fathers, our Heavenly Father to the upcoming fathers, so that He may be established in their lives as the Father of fathers. All men, put your hand on your heart. And I finish off with this. May you bring heaven to earth. Whew. May you bring heaven to earth. May you be the generation that carries and sustains the flame of revival into all the earth. Let me say that again. May each one of you, no matter your age, no matter your age, no matter your stature, no matter where you come from, your background, may you be the generation that carries and sustains the flame of revival into all the earth. Father, right now, I bless every male from the crown of their head and to the soles of their feet. I bless them with the abundance of your love. And I thank you, Father God, that their eyes are opened to see the heart and the love of Father God. I thank you for this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. All the ladies say amen. And all the men say amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, I seal with the power and the blood of Jesus Christ. I seal what has been spoken over every man today. I seal it. I seal it. I seal it. I seal it. Amen and amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.